So it seems like a lot of the news cycle and social feeds have kind of moved on, but there are still a lot of questions that I'm seeing about Cold Card and what happened and what we can get out of it. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to try to answer as many questions as we can about the people who are still trying to figure out what the hell happened with Cold Card. All right, so we've got a bunch of different posts here. What I'm actually going to do in this episode, we're going to go through just one by one a bunch of things that people are asking or commenting about on the Cold Card situation, because I think there's still just a lot to unpack here. And I feel like a lot of people are still confused about things. So I'm going to do my best to answer them. This show is sponsored by Bitbox, the Bitbox hardware wallet. Definitely, do your own red teaming, but I'm actually going to get them together. I've been reading some reports and other things in regards to this. It is a fully open source hardware wallet. It's one that I've used for a really long time and I've always loved. Check them out. You got a discount code right down in the show notes. But right now, let's go ahead and dig a little bit into this Cold Card situation and answer some questions. All right, so this one is from Rars01 or Rarson. All that talk about having two secure elements, technically three, but yes, two secure. There were three pieces of the little puzzle. It just seems like security theater now. All of those extra features, and yet the device failed to perform its most basic task, random generation. Man, that couldn't hurt more true. If you wrote it, you couldn't word that better. This is one of the reasons I really loved the Cold Card is all the apparent attention to the edge cases, which makes you think, or it made me think that they must have really dealt with the foundation if they've dealt with all of this stuff around whether or not your USB is going to be an attack surface or whether or not you need a brick pin or a fake pin, like all of this stuff. And yet it turns out the exact opposite is they spent all of this time on the edge and didn't even care about the literal heart of what the purpose of this thing was. And that's just really disappointing. That's incredibly disappointing. But what's interesting is I spoke with, I can't remember if it was Taylor or someone else recently, but I spoke with someone talking about their random number generation stuff. And what's interesting about it is that they actually had a whole bunch of overcomplicated moving things around and handing it to a different piece of the device in their firmware, which was a part of the problem. It just needed to be simple and obvious. This is why the bug was so obscure and went unnoticed for so long, is because the code around getting the random number was nonsense. It was spaghetti and it was doing too much. And so, and the lesson from this is probably just that simplicity is key. That simple probably means it's going to work better. All right, this is Pat F4274. It's also part of the rush to market mentality. Devs actually get a lot of pressure from the suits to deliver quicker and are forced to cut back on things like test harnesses. Possibly. I mean, there's definitely an element of this when you see in like VC. This is just a general problem, I think, in tech, because tech is supposed to move so quickly. Like, you have to get your product out, you have to get your network or your tool out as fast as possible. And you just don't worry about the foundation of it. You don't worry about the security of it as much because you're just trying to get those users in, and then you could fix all that stuff in post. Do the same thing with films, right? Is you just let's get it on film and we'll fix it in post. We'll fix it in post. But that was kind of the beauty of hardware wallets is that you didn't think that was necessary. That wasn't the issue, right? You had time to actually pay attention to it. And it's just crazy that they didn't. They just didn't. And it's and the failure is just so insane. Like, I want to know that every single hardware wallet manufacturer is sitting with their hardware wallet plugged in right now, generating keys, and with a Kimi K3 session that's just open, just beating the thing to death, like all times. Like, that would just be a should just be a permanent session run on all hardware wallets all the time. All right, Deborah Martinez, 385. Cold car didn't do what they were supposed to do. It's like buying a car without an engine. That's a pretty apt analogy, because this is the one thing when you're generating keys, it's the one thing that you just have to get right. So many of the other things aren't important. So many of the other things are second, like this is the foundation. This is like caring so much about what floor 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in your building are doing and getting the windows perfect and all this stuff. And you literally forgot to pour the concrete or mix the concrete right in your foundation. And you just didn't even, you just kind of like threw it in there and then started building on top of it. Nothing matters. Nothing matters if you don't get the random number generation right. And it is wild how much they spent talking about all their other cool features and nonsense when they couldn't get the basics right. It's literally a car without an engine. It's like, okay, your radio's great. You're not going to take me anywhere. Where the hell am I going to go? I'm just going to sit in my car and listen to the radio. Okay, so this is ACP2 and then Rarson again. And this is a really important point that I think leads us back to the idea of it just being too convoluted. So I'm no software tester for mission critical software, but I don't think missing an entropy test was the key missing test. It should be a part of it, but yes. But rather, the test suite was not ensuring full branch path coverage. Seems like there was an if statement that was with two paths, true random number generation and pseudo random number generation. If so, then their test suite was not ensuring that under normal conditions, the TRNG path was always taken. And Rarson responded with, the hardware RNG was never being used. It wasn't a fallback as much as an improperly implemented library, causing the PRNG to be used every single time, which was never supposed to be used at all. This is really the thing. The code should be so simple and there should not be a fallback. There should not be an alternative path. And whether it was an if statement or just a fallback, there shouldn't be a fallback. Whatever the process of key generation is, like when you talk about like in the cold card, they've got like the shoot me and the all this stuff to make sure that all the paths are all the systems are path dependent. Well, this is exactly what you should have with your random number generator. You should put in a TRNG. And it should be used to generate the key. And if it's not being used, there should be no handoff. There should be no trading of information. There should be no alternative paths. There should be no fallback. It should just go straight through the one thing that you need to generate a random number. And it should never do anything else. And if it doesn't go through that thing, then it should fail. It should just give back an error and just say nothing worked. And it should not give you a key. Like, the failure mode is everything. You fail to either it not working or you fail to static. You don't fail in the direction of just generate a key with nothing, no entropy at all, and give it to the user and hope somebody figures it out. They should all be path dependent. This is a hardware security device. This is its job. So frustrating. Okay, Coach Katana Head. The whole premise of open source code being scrutinized by the OS community seems underpinned by this exploit. Here's the thing, and this is one of the nuances that I didn't appreciate that I am, in hindsight, I think now you can forward apply or you can apply to history and that this would actually be a useful new thing to learn from this, is that source available and open source aren't the same thing. I did not appreciate that. I did not appreciate the difference there. And the reason is because if you have source available, that means that you're expecting someone else for free or for no particular reason to do the work of checking your software when there's not really any incentive to. They're going to check your firmware or your system. Open source means that other people can use it. CoinKite did not let anybody else use ColdCard to build a new device. If you are actually using it in a new device, builders and developers are actually using your software, and they have every incentive to check it again and make sure it's working. Open source is far more likely, I think, because of that incentive, to catch errors and to be actually secure. whereas, or to get a security benefit, whereas source available is just thinking that you're going to get the benefit of open source because you get to tell people that you're open, but you don't have any incentive for anybody to check your work. And so some disastrous bug like this can sit there for 5 years in the most important part of the most important piece of this entire stack, and nobody cares to look because you're not even letting them use it. And that's why I am full on, I'm just done. The hardware wallet has to be open source, because I'm not going to be able to deal with it unless I can you know, red team it for a couple hours with Kimmy, if nothing else, at the least. All right, so Lahalfo said, "What the hell, man? Why are you telling people who rolled 100 dice to create entropy to move their funds as soon as possible?" So when I did this original video, it was after a very, very, very long night of talking to a lot of people, and we had not yet confirmed whether or not dice rolls were even included. I was assuming at the time, also not very much sleep, that the cold card should just not be trusted. That I wasn't even sure if dice rolls were taken into account, but I think it was literally within hours of this one getting published that I think it was Wicked, maybe, was one of the ones that confirmed by rolling dice on the cold card and then rolling dice on a completely different hardware wallet that they generated the exact same keys with obviously the same exact entropy. And so that was just basically confirmation that it does in fact take the dice rolls properly. But 100 dice rolls is more than 100 dice rolls is, I think, 256 bits or something, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember exactly how the math works out per dice roll. But yes, if you actually created your own entropy with 100 dice rolls, you were 100% fine. Part of it was just my mistake, but then also part of it was just that I was just assuming that we were all full on dead. A cold card is just not to be trusted. I have no idea how they implement anything, so just get it off. And I think we now have solid verification that dice rolls are taken to an account, and 100 dice rolls is absolutely safe. Okay, so Code says, if you rolled dice or have a really strong passphrase, you are good. I should clarify, if you rolled dice, you are good, no action needed. If you have a really good passphrase, you still need to move, but you can take some more time. Yes, that is the way to think about it, is if you rolled dice, you know exactly how much entropy you have, and that should be taken as your entropy. So if you did it 100 times, you're safe. You created your seed. Cold card had nothing to do with it. That is a strong, full security of your key. Now, a passphrase is a good backup, or what I like to refer to as poor man's multi-sig, because the complexity or the entropy of the passphrase is entirely right now how much entropy your key has. So if you used a real simple passphrase or an easily guessed passphrase, you want to move your funds pretty quick. If it's just like two words or your favorite quote, something from a book, or, you know, your pet's name and your date of birth, that is something which, generally speaking, using that as a passphrase is actually okay. I have nothing against that. I think it's actually good for a passphrase to be memorable, but never treat it like the full security of your key, because those things can be broken, and the rest of your key, if you generate it on a cold card, is of no consequence whatsoever. You might as well assume somebody has or can get the rest of that. So if you have a really, really, really good passphrase, then okay, but think about that as your only seed here. And I would just move it to a newly generated seed phrase and either roll your dice or just make sure you did it on a good device and assume that all you have is a little bit more time, as opposed to the passphrase being the thing that really makes it secure. All right, Moritz Pish 5501 says, dice your 24 words every time. You know, a lot of people say that that's ridiculous, and expecting people to roll their own dice is too far. And honestly, you know, part of me says, okay, well, yeah, you know, maybe normies or whatever. Maybe there's a degree of like you've gone too far. But I don't know. Entropy is not that difficult of a concept to stack on top of all the other things that we've learned about self-custody and the thing that's important to learn to be responsible about your keys. And we have every bit of incentive now to make that part of the repertoire. And, you know, adding that on top of keeping 24 words safe and knowing what your key is and not to put it into a website and how to back it up properly and keep your device safe. Just knowing what entropy is and how it's being put into it, not that tall of a, not that much extra work, you know? So I think it's totally fine to be, roll your own randomness being something that we should kind of think of as a really important part of a sovereign Bitcoin stack. Even though for most people, that might be a little bit a step to bad UX, maybe. The alternative would be get a good multi-sig, but that kind of has its own caveats too. So probably not a bad idea to roll your own seed words if you can. If that's a setup you think you can handle, just do it. All right, so Kevin Guerrero 9596 says, Cold Card Q is now my dice roll seed phrase generator. That is all. And Brad Marcus says, I am even afraid of that. I will use it to store other keys generated elsewhere. I aged 10 years and 3 hours. So, yeah, honestly, I was initially on the path of just throw away all my cold cards and stuff. But honestly, I think it actually isn't that big of a deal to treat it more like a seed signer. Like it's just a signing device. Just don't trust it to make keys. So that's not a bad way to get use out of your device anymore, to either do the dice rolls to generate the seed so that you know you're not trusting the cold card to create your entropy, or actually generate a seed somewhere else and then import it into the cold card so that you have a signing device and you can still use it. Because otherwise, the device is fine. It's the firmware that was a disaster in the generating of the seed phrase. So that's not a bad way to actually get use out of it, so you don't lose a, you know, $200 device or whatever it is for no reason. I would just treat it like a signing only, don't generate the keys. Miss Calabresis, your sincerity is much appreciated. Marty Bent Odell also recommended it to many. Crazy. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. It really is. I'm glad you appreciate the sincerity. That makes me feel good because I feel like shit about this. I recommended it. I had, just so you understand, I had cold card in every one of my setups. Every single multi-sig I had a cold card. Like, I trusted them as much as anybody. I gave it to my best friend in the whole world since we were, I don't even remember how little, to put his entire stack on. And I just can't believe I got with this. You know, I've had a lot of failures in Bitcoin. I've made a lot of stupid mistakes. This one just hurts worse because I shared it with so many other people, you know? And I put other people in harm's way because I just kind of stupidly trusted something that, you know, maybe I could have, I don't know. Hindsight is 20/20. It's a mess no matter which way you turn it. And I wish I could have had a really good rule. I'm still looking for that heuristic that would have prevented this. And I've got some okay ones, but nothing feels fail safe. So anyway, appreciate the comment. User 99, Guy, I know you're grieving over this, but do realize that you've changed many, many lives. You and Foss Orange pilled me. I love that one. Appearance on Liberty Lockdown back in 22. I will forever be grateful to you. You've literally completely changed my life for the better forever. Thanks. That was a good episode on Liberty Lockdown. It's still hard to deal with the fallout for this. I wish I had. I don't know. I've messed so many things up in my Bitcoin history that I try so hard not to just sit there and think, what could I have done differently? What could I have done differently? Like, some part of me thinks that's like really important, but you know, if I dwelled on the keys that I've lost, oh man, I'd be depressed. Jesus. The stuff that happened back in, you know, 2012 to 2014 range. Oh God, I could dig myself into a hole and just go lay there forever thinking about the mistakes I made back then and what I could have or how I could have set myself out now if I didn't do those things. But I'm glad it may have made a difference. I appreciate that. Good episode to get orange pilled on too, though. I miss Clint. I need to get an episode together with him or something sometime. Thanks, man. All right, we'll cap this off here because there were actually a lot of comments. So we're going to do a part two of this and we'll come back to it. I'm trying to answer a lot of the people who have questions or comments this way in the future. So I'll be doing a lot of these videos. And thank you, everybody who does actually ask questions and, you know, engage a little bit. But with that, we'll close this one out. Stay tuned. Stay subscribed. Don't forget Guy's Take on YouTube. It is my new channel. Still trying to grow it and get it out there. Don't forget to check out the BitBox discount code right down in the show notes. And it will be coming to Nunchuck Mobile very soon. I will keep you updated on that. I'm talking to Hugo. And until then, I will catch you on the next episode. And that is my two sets.